Good morning, everybody. Good to see you this morning. We're going to be in Psalms 100 today. So if you have your Bible, let's turn to Psalms 100. And we're talking about gratefulness. And what I want to do this morning is I want to talk about personal revival and how personal revival causes gratefulness out of just what's happening in your life. It's just it oozes out of the cracks, so to speak. So let's turn to Psalms 100. We're going to read the verses 1 through 5, pray, and we'll see what the Lord has for us. Psalms 100, it says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pastures. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations." Lord God, we are grateful this morning for what You've done for us. How You have called us out of darkness, how You set us into the kingdom of Your beloved Son, how You've redeemed us, how You have transformed us. And Lord, this morning we're here to worship, we're here to make a joyful noise, we're here to serve You with gladness. And so Lord, we commit this time, we commit this morning to You, and we ask that You would speak to us through Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a question for us. How many of you have ever been to a college football game? Who remembers the first college football game you went to? Well, I want to tell you about my experience. I figured there was a lot of people that had been to a college football game. 1977, Lubbock, Texas Tech was playing Rice, Old Southwest Conference. I know y'all probably might not know. Y'all, some of the old guys would remember the Southwest Conference if you were a football fan. I don't remember anything about the game. Honestly, I don't remember who won. I don't remember anything. I know, Joe, it's terrible. It was 40 years ago, though, you know, so you have to give me a break. I'm old. And you know what I do remember, though? I do remember, and you have to understand a little bit about Tech Stadium. About half of it's underground. It seats about 65,000 people, and half of it's underground. And I walked ground level through the tunnel onto the promenade, I guess is what you call it, goes around the stadium. I walked through that tunnel and I stepped out into the football area stadium, and you could feel the electricity. I mean, it was a tactile experience. I'm getting chills right now because I can still remember what was. And it wasn't that I was excited about the game, because it was just a game. I usually watch the games on TV because you could watch the replays and all. On TV, it's a whole lot better than it is at the stadium. I don't know if you know that, but that's my opinion. But it was all the people there excited about 22 guys in a ball. And that's what we were getting stoked about. And you could feel the electricity in the air. And I actually went with this guy's name's Jeff, and I said, "Jeff, do you feel this?" And he goes, "Yeah, every time I walk in, it's just like this. Crazy." And like I said, tactile experience. You can just feel it in the air. And I know it's on an appropriate day because we have a football game tonight, don't we? My team's not in here. I really wish they would be. Thought they would be, but that's life. I've been waiting for this game all year. Anybody but me kind of been waiting for the Super Bowl? Super Bowl, Chili Bowl. I mean, it's my wife's birthday. She's really mad because the Chili Bowl and the Super Bowl's all on her birthday. But all year long, I've been anticipating this game. And I guess my question for us is, I wonder what would happen to Good News if when we left our house, we had that same type of anticipation when we walked through those doors out there. You know, if we were excited about coming to church and excited about watching Jim and the worship team up here singing, and we didn't see it as a song. My brother-in-law, he calls it the song service. He has other issues, but mainly he's not a believer, but he calls it a song service. And so he doesn't come for the song service, and he misses the whole boat. It's not a song service. It's time to worship. It's a time to lift up our voices in praise to our God who has called us out of darkness, who has redeemed us, who calls me a son. I mean, that's what we have to remember. And sometimes I have to confess, I come to church and I forget these things because I'm so used to coming to church and I just forget these things. And I forget, Pastor Chrissy was talking about the gratefulness, and I wanted to stand up and say, you know what? There are so many things that happened to me this week that I wasn't even totally aware of because of God's grace that he just provides for me daily. And we're going to look today in Psalms 100, and there are five things that the psalmist tells us to do. And I'm going to make a promise to you. If you'll do these five things, change your life. Totally, radically change your life. The grateful, it'll ooze out of the pores because of what's going on in your life. And would you put that slide up, Dave? These are the five things that that the psalmist tells us to do. And we love our lovely color this morning, don't we? I don't know, last week it did the same thing, and when Dave showed up, he sat down and it changed colors, but this week he didn't have that same luck. So the first thing, anyway, and these are actually commands here. He's telling us to do these, and these are the five commands that we're going to see and we're going to talk about in Psalms 100. The first one is make a joyful noise, all the earth, and you're going to see the charismatic in me come out. I actually went to it wasn't a charismatic church, but it was a more charismatic church than I like to confess to when I was a new believer. Make a joyful noise. It's okay to stand up and shout and sing and enjoy God. Make a joyful noise. Serve the Lord with gladness is the second one. Serve the Lord. Actually, that word is another way of saying it is to worship. Service and worship the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. When you enter into that door, are you expecting to hear from God? Are you expecting to know that the living God is here, waiting to speak to you, whether it's through His Word that Pastor Chris speaks, or myself, or the other, Zach, or whoever it is preaching, or through your Sunday school class? Are you expecting to hear from God? And that's what you have to do. And when you do these, when these five things are just happening in your life, you can't help but be glad. You can't help but rejoice. You can't help but lift holy hands. Come into His presence with singing. Fourth one, know that the Lord, He is God. He is our God. And we're going to talk a little bit about knowing who God is and what it means. And then the last one, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. I believe that's on the wall right as you enter into the sanctuary. We are entering into His courts. Are you entering into His courts with praise? I mean, it's hard sometimes too because, you know, the world, the flesh, and the devil, they don't go away. But if we do these things on an ongoing basis, even though the world, the flesh, and the devil is still there, you'll be able to deal with them. So let's look, and go ahead and just leave those up, Dave. Let's look at the first one. Make a joyful noise comes from the Hebrew word to shout. I mean, and we don't think that it's very appropriate to shout in public, but that's what it's telling us. When we verbally declare our praise for our God, it glorifies His name. It glorifies His name, and it brings us into His presence. Psalms 47:1 says, come, everyone, clap your hands, shout to God with joyful praise. And that's what Jesus said in Luke 19. If you remember, they were saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And the Pharisees are telling Jesus, "Tell your disciples to shut up. That's not good." And Jesus looks at them and says, let me find it. It says, "But teacher, rebuke your followers for they're saying things like that." And he replied in verse 40, chapter 19, he replies, "But if they keep quiet, the stones along the road will burst out into cheers." I mean, all of nature will bring praise if we don't. And I remember when I was a new believer, and I told you I went to a, you know, I don't want to say it was a charismatic church, but it was, it came out of the Assembly. It was an independent church. It came out of the Assembly of God church several 15 years earlier. So it had a charismatic flavor to it. And I remember I listened to a certain genre of music, and basically it was Christ for the Nations, if you know anything about it. And all they did is they sang the Psalms. And it's really funny. I know a lot of the Psalms because they're songs that I sang 30 years ago, you know. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from which comes my help. My help comes from the Lord. It's a song that I sang. I'm crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20, it's a song that was on these tapes. And I remember one morning in particular, I worked for a man, and I won't tell you his name, but Sheila wanted to name our son this guy's name, and I said, "This is not going to happen because I really dislike this person." In fact, I was a carpenter, and there were several times that I just wanted to chunk him off the roof. I'm confessing here. Anyway, I remember getting in my car, going to work, and thinking to myself, "Oh Lord, help me!" And I started doing what those songs were telling me to do. I started shouting to the Lord all the way to work. You know, this guy, he didn't change, but I was able to put up with him that day. And I kept doing that over and over and over and over and over again. And I got to the point, I didn't really like him. I tolerated the guy. But what happened, he didn't change. I changed. My heart changed. Because I started doing what God's word was telling me to do. And I was able to deal with the person that was that thorn in the flesh. That day's been a lesson to me, you know. We can choose, we can get up in the morning, we can choose to be a stump on a log. Or we can get up in the morning, we can choose to lift holy hands and praise and shout to our God who is worthy. And again, I'm going to say it again, if you'll do these five things, your whole life will change. Your whole life will change. You will be grateful. It'll be a natural byproduct of just what's going on in your life, because God wants us to praise him. He wants us to make a joyful noise. He wants us to serve him with gladness. He wants us to come into his presence. And when he does, when we do that, changes our hearts, changes who we are. Well, the second one, serve the Lord with gladness. We are never allowed to labor for the Lord. We should never allow the labor for the Lord to become a drudgery. I mean, it just shouldn't. Galatians 6:9. It's another one of those songs that I learned when I was listening to this music. It says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time you will reap if you do not grow weary." Don't get weary in doing well, because God, there's a blessing at the end. There's a blessing at the end. And the word gladness literally means pleasure or joy. And that is, we are to look at our service to the Lord as a cause for rejoicing. It's not a chore. We get to do this stuff. And we should view it as a privilege given to us. 1 Timothy 1:12 says, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me the strength to do his work. He has considered me trustworthy and appointed me to serve him." He has given us a privilege to be a part of his body. God, I have a couple of questions for you. Don't answer them, but a couple of questions. When is the last time you saw someone excited about going to church? I mean, it's a real question. I struggle with it, you know? Just being excited. You got to think what's happening here. We're entering in. I know that the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and the church is the body of Christ. I understand all that. But I'm taking specific time out of my day, and I am entering into a building with other believers to do one thing. That's to worship God. And the question is, are we excited? I mean, it's, when's the last time you saw someone shout for joy because they were called to, or they were asked to do something at church? You know, work in the nursery. I mean, it's a privilege to work with these kids. It's a privilege to work in children's church. You're giving an opportunity maybe for a lost parent to hear the gospel message because their child is being taken care of. And they can actually listen attentively. And God can speak and God can call them. All because you're wanting to serve in the nursery or downstairs. We should be excited. We get an opportunity to meet our risen Savior Sunday morning, even Wednesday night Bible study. If you're not going to Wednesday night Bible study, I encourage you to, because I don't know about the ladies, but the guys, we just started Hebrews, and I am really excited about what's going to happen. Ought to be a really good study. It's a time for men to come together, ask questions, and serve and seek God together. And it's an awesome time. And I'm sure the ladies are doing that. The ladies are in 1 and 2 Peter right now. So come. Psalms 122:1 says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Well, the third one, it says, come into his presence with singing. This word literally means a ringing cry, coming into his presence with singing. This is an awesome way to bless his name and exalt him. In fact, every believer ought to possess a song in his heart. And some, I was contemplating last night singing a song for you guys, but I chickened out. Not because I actually can sing, Joe. But everybody should have a song in their heart. And the two songs that I mentioned earlier, Psalms 121, you know, I will lift up mine eyes unto the Lord. It's a song that just rattles around in my head. Galatians 2:20, it's another song. It's a verse, but it's a song that I've been singing for the last, I guess, since I was a believer. And you ought to have a song in your heart. Psalms 68:32 says, sing to God. And I know, guys, you know, we don't sing much. I mean, it's, I don't. I mean, it's not a manly thing. I know Jacob, he does. Yeah, I know there are a couple in here. But it's not really seen as a manly thing. But it is. In God's eyes, it is. And that's what you have to get past. Whose opinion are you looking for? Are you looking for the world's opinion? Are you looking for God's opinion? Remember, if you do these things, your whole life will change. I mean, if you make a joyful noise, if you serve the Lord with gladness, if you come into his presence with singing, if you know that the Lord, he is God, and you enter his gates with thanksgiving in his court, it'll change your whole life. And gladness and happiness, it'll just happen. Because of what God is doing in you. Never hesitate. Don't be afraid to lift that song of your heart to the Lord. You know, I've turned off the radio in my car. And I've plugged in books or I've plugged in music. Because I get tired. I don't know about y'all, but Christian radio is kind of hard to listen to. Christian, because the same songs over and over and over and over again. So I've turned all this off. I've turned all the talk radios off because it just makes me mad and I want to fight. And so I've started listening to books and I've started listening to worship songs, and it's changing the way I'm thinking. And I've told my wife, because she started listening to talk radio, and I said, it's changing you now. And so she's actually stopped doing it well. I mean, she's already fired up. And, you know, don't hesitate to lift up songs from your heart to the Lord. It glorifies Him, honors Him, changes you, changes you. Well, the fourth one, it says, know the Lord that He is God. Every truth learned about the Lord should be a new result or a new reason to praise and worship Him. Every time you learn something new about God, about His attributes, it's not new to Him, but it's new to us, should be a reason for us to praise God. And hopefully we'll never reach a point in our lives that we'd never learn anything new. We should always be experiencing God. We should always be knowing and learning more about who He is. It's important that we never forget who we're serving. We are serving the living God. I mean, that's it. And there's three things here in this song, in this verse, that we can know about God. First, it's His creative power. It is He who has made us. We're in this world because of the Lord. In His great power, He formed man in His image. Something to praise. You, I, were created in the image of God. That's what the world tells us. But there's all, I mean, that's His creative power. And you look around the world and what He's done. That's His creative power, how He's formed us together. But there's also His recreative power that we see. When we're steeped in sin, when you and I were steeped in sin, you know, He redeemed us. His recreative power, something to praise God. You and I, my favorite verse, Colossians 1:13, you and I, we were called. Why He called me, I have no idea. But He has taken me out of one kingdom, and He has placed me into His kingdom. That alone is a reason to praise God. Your salvation, His recreative power. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old Richard died December 1985. He's gone. The new Richard has come. Well, the second reason we can know is we are His. We are His people. That is, we are His personal possession. Titus 2:14 tells us, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds. You know, I was trying to figure out last night, why I don't know why God called me. I don't know why God called you. I was sitting there thinking, why did God call Abraham? What was special about Abraham? It's just because that's what He did. He chose you. It's what Ephesians 1 tells us. He chose you. Reason to praise God. We can know God, that He is our God. Well, the last one, it says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. It's a visible thing. It's like me entering into the football stadium. It's a visible thing. It's a tactile experience. It should be a visible thing. And the psalmist said that we are to enter His gates and His courts with praise. And this isn't an activity that's done in the corner. It's done where everybody can see. And there's a couple of things that I was thinking about last night. We don't do. I'm not suggesting that we do. We do these things. But Psalms 47:1 says, "Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout for the joy shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Clapping. It's not applause, it's worship. Way of worshiping God. We can enter into his gates with lifting holy hands. Psalm 63:4. Thus I will bless you as long as I will live. I will lift up my hands in your name. It's okay to lift your hands to the Lord and praise the God of the heavens and the earth. It's okay. Last one. And you're not going to see me doing this one, but 2 Samuel 6:14, it says, and David danced before the Lord. And I'm probably not going to see Joe do that one either, just from his look. But David danced before the Lord, before not just before the Lord, but for all of Israel. All of Israel, he danced before the Lord. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Can't be done silent. Can't be done where, it's people see this. It's in public. It's in his church. It's in the temple. And I want to end these five commands. Again, if you do them, it'll change your life. But this, I want to give you the why you should do these. It's found in verse 5. Go there for a minute and just read it. Verse 5. This is why you should be doing these five things. It says, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. You shouldn't do this because it'll change your life. You shouldn't do this because of any reason. You should do this because the Lord is good. And that's the why. Why we should be serving the Lord. Because our God is good and an awesome God. Well, I want to close with seven laws of the harvest. If you put it up, please. I'm reading a book. Actually, it's the Cliff Notes of a book by John Lawson. And I'm not a farmer. I'll just be honest with you. I'm not a farmer. Again, I want to say, if you'll do these things, God will change you. But these seven laws of the harvest. If you want your life to change, if you want things to be different in your life, he tells us, enter into his courts with praise. Those commands, make a joyful noise, serve the Lord, come into his presence with singing, know the Lord, enter into his gates with praise. Well, the first one, it says, we reap only what we sow. So if you want your life to change, you got to do these five things. I mean, it's just the law of being a farmer. If you don't plant a seed, nothing's going to grow. And the second one is the same. We reap the same kind as we sow. In other words, if you're planting corn, you're not going to get wheat. If you're planting corn, you're going to get a corn crop. If you want to plant gladness and joy in your heart, make a joyful noise. If you want to plant bitterness and anger, guess what you're going to reap? It's a choice that you make. It's a choice that you make. We reap the same kind that we sow. And the third one is we reap in a different season that we sow. If you're struggling right now with just being content, just being glad, as Pastor Chris has been talking about, this whole idea of a joyful heart, you know what? And you start reaping these letters that you're signing, guess what's going to happen in about a month or two? I mean, you're planting seeds. Even a farmer knows you plant in the spring, you harvest in the fall. And the same thing is true here. And you have a choice, you know? We reap more than we sow. You can sow a little bit, or you can sow a lot. And I would tell you, sow as much as you can. We reap in proportion to what we sow. We reap the full harvest of God only if we persevere. Farmer's got to take care of his crop. Same thing, if you're writing notes, if you're trying to produce gladness in your heart, if you're entering into his courts with prayer, you got to do these things on a consistent basis. You can't just do them one time and be done. And then last, you can't do anything about last year's harvest. You can't. Start afresh today. Start afresh today. I'm going to say it again. If you'll do these five commands, if you'll do these five things that the psalmists tell us to do in 100, it will change your life. And you just have a simple choice. It will change your life. Lord, we want to thank you again for this day. I want to thank you again for your goodness and grace. And Lord, as we take communion, I just pray for each person here that we would just prepare our hearts to receive from you, that we would prepare our hearts to hear from you. And God, just thank you that for the symbols of the body and the blood that's shown in communion. God, we bless you. Pray that you'd bless this day. We pray in Jesus' name.